Roger Goodell delivers his annual pre-Super Bowl State of the League address today. Goodell's expected to comment on Deflategate for the first time and the investigation into the underinflated footballs used by the New England Patriots in their AFC Championship win over Indianapolis. This is USA Radio News.
In the early 60s, Dolores and Ray Butcher and their three daughters earned a trip to Disneyland by collecting S&H green stamps. It was a dream come true. Today, nearly everyone has a wallet or keychain full of loyalty rewards cards that they use for discounts, gifts, and even free dinner at their favorite restaurants. For years, an international company has been offering a universal loyalty rewards card in Europe. Now they are looking for independent representatives to launch this card in the U.S. and Canada. We call it the Blue Card. One card to replace dozens. The Blue Card offers discounts, cash back, it even accumulates points to participating merchants and an online mall. It's free to get the card and free to become a representative. You could help launch the Blue Card in your area and get paid wherever it's used.
You're listening to HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our
The administration has even given millions to the terrorist group Hamas without apology. I'm Jason Wirt.
Rescuers are using sledgehammers to break through fallen concrete as they hunt for survivors of a powerful gas explosion that shattered a maternity and children's hospital in Mexico City. At least three adults and a baby were killed and dozens are injured. So far, the explosion appears to be an accident. This is USA Radio News.
Did you pay for childcare last year? Did your mom move just down the street and say, I'll watch the kids while you're at work? And you were like, great. But then she said, let's discuss rates. And you found out the exact price of Grandma's love. Plus a caregiver and holidays. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you pay for childcare, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
Even with low prices, the U.S. oil industry is pushing for exports, AP correspondent Sandy Kozel reports.
It may seem counterintuitive with oil prices as low as they have been at any point since 2009, but oil producers are playing a longer game, betting that long-term demand remains strong and new markets overseas offer lucrative rewards for U.S. producers. Reporters see possible inroads with a Republican Congress, as well as some signs that the Obama administration will at least consider changes to the long-standing policy against exporting U.S. oil. Opponents say oil exporting would send gas prices higher and prevent the U.S. from achieving a goal of energy independence. Sandy Kozel, Washington.
A survivalist accused of killing a Pennsylvania state trooper and wounding another in a police barracks ambush has pleaded not guilty. Eric Freen was arraigned today. The 31-year-old participated by video from the county jail. Freen is charged with first-degree murder, terrorism, and related charges in the September ambush that killed Corporal Brian Dixon and severely wounded Trooper Alex Douglas outside the police barracks in Blooming Grove. Freen was captured October 30th after a 48-day manhunt in the Pocono Mountains. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says he set up a committee and a website to raise money for a possible campaign for the GOP presidential nomination. Graham says his exploratory committee is about finding solutions to issues like immigration, national security, and health care. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It is 9:05. Local weather here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com, Flemington, the surrounding area. 39 degrees outside. Today, scattered flurries possible before 4 p.m. Otherwise, cloudy, high near 42. It's about close to that outside already. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low 29. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high in the 40s, down in the 20s Tuesday night. Wednesday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 40s. Chance of rain Wednesday night, mainly after 1 in the morning. Slight chance of rain on Thanksgiving Day. Otherwise, cloudy, high near 50. Mostly cloudy Thursday night, low in the 30s. Sunny on Friday. Friday night, little chance of rain in the nighttime again. And clear on Saturday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
A caregiver.
I seen your picture. Hey, welcome to the table. Your host, Chef Bill here. Chef Bill's Table. Monday mornings at 100inchamberradio.com. Looking to looking forward. We've got a little interruption here. I apologize for that. I'm not sure what the problem is. It might be with our broadcaster, so please be tolerant. Hopefully it gets fixed soon.
All right.
We've got the big day coming up this week. Biggest, probably, well, food day, that in Super Bowl, right? In America, anyway. Thanksgiving Day. Many other cultures and countries also the summer growing season will celebrate the harvest. And last week we went into some of the options for turkey, how to cook them, and we've got day after Thanksgiving is also National Leftovers Day, and hopefully make a little bit extra. Leftovers are always good. That's the downside of going out to a restaurant to eat, because you don't have leftovers. Although some people, you know, like leftovers, they would rather start fresh every day. I like the leftovers. I always can concoct something out of that. 23rd is Cranberry Day. Nice and timely this week. So today we'll discuss more options for the turkey. As if there's not enough out there already. Depending on your needs, the size of your family or your gathering that you're having, and, you know, depending on your skill level, I'm going to try a couple of different things. And then, of course, the side dishes. Have the classics, classic combinations, and maybe do a little twist on those. Although, as we spoke last week, side dishes and sauces are where you can kind of make the Thanksgiving dinner your own. America is, after all, a melting pot. There's many cultures here. And I think the New York Times did it this last week with different side dishes from different nationalities, which is pretty cool. You know, the turkey, everybody likes the turkey. And most people that settle, were not just here, but anywhere, you bring your culinary traditions and then oftentimes adapt them to the products you find on hand. Now, and of course, in America, the wild turkey was here. We've got the domesticated turkey now. It was brought back. The French embraced it when it was brought back to Europe, and the Italian, other cultures picked up on it. But it was probably called Indian chicken because, of course, the travelers thought they were in India, and they landed down in, near Mexico. In Mexico, it was they called it Indian chicken. Mexico. Very good with turkey. The mole, the nice dark sauce, very complex flavors, excellent, especially with the dark meat. And then some beverages. I want to go through maybe some choices. Turkey, just like it's kind of a blank canvas for sauces and for sides, is also a good jumping off point for beverages, especially wines. Hard-pressed to find a good wine that wouldn't match up somewhere, depending on what else you're doing with the with your turkey.
I'm
trying to see if I can fix this problem here. Interruptions. Anyway. Yeah, so the beverages, wines and cider. Either hard cider or not hard cider. Either one would work. So we'll run down some things, and then of course the leftovers. What do we do with the leftovers? And got a couple of favorite dishes besides the obvious turkey soup. There's a couple other neat things you can do depending on the types of leftovers you have. So, other options for the turkey, especially if you have a small group or if you don't have a lot of time to cook, boneless half turkey breast or a boneless whole turkey breast would work. And you could do this a couple of ways. If you're not good at boning out the breast, you could have a butcher do it for you. If you bone out the breast in one piece, leaving the skin on, then you have this nice flat roast that pound out a little bit, or butterfly meaning with your knife parallel to the cutting board, kind of slice through the thicker part of the turkey breast and open it up like you're opening a folded piece of paper, and it allows the meat to cook evenly, so you don't have different thicknesses there. I'd take out the tenderloins, the two lobes that are in there with a little string through them. Those are always good diced up, or you could cook those separately, but you don't have to have those in there. If you do put them in there, I like to remove them from where they are and put them in the center of the turkey breast where the bone was. Take up that space there. So once your breast is opened up, then you can put a stuffing. Of course, if you like the bread stuffing, that's good. We do that with the when we make turduckens, we bone out the poultry and spread it out and spread the stuffing over it and then roll it up. This allows you to do something even like a nice duxelle, a mushroom-based stuffing, or if you want to do a rice stuffing, it would lend itself to that. Or if you don't want it, so you want to take it in a direction, put a thin slice of prosciutto in there would be nice. Anything that comes to mind. Again, the stuffing is where you could start putting your little stamp on things. So the meat gets rolled up, and with the skin on, of course, holds everything together, and then tie it with the butcher's string, cotton twine, and takes a lot less time to roast. Now, if you want the skin very brown, of course, I would recommend in the heavy roasting pan on the stovetop, browning up the outside first. because this is not going to cook too long, you're not going to get that real crispy brown skin unless you brown it first. Other option is to cook it at a fairly high temperature, which you can do, especially with the breast. It'll cook quickly. The stuffing inside, again, with the small roll there, you're not cooking it as long as you would a whole stuffed bird. So where we don't like to put bread and things inside the whole turkey, with a rolled turkey breast, it would work fine.
A caregiver.
You could take each half of the breast and make two rolls if you want something really quickly. And again, if you don't have a lot of time for cooking, if you prefer the white meat, or maybe you just don't have that many people and you don't want to cook a whole, 18 or 20 pound turkey, the turkey breast is that's the way to go. Now, if you want to take the skin off, that's fine. If you took each lobe and took the skin off, if you really don't like the skin, you could again brown it, just like if you were sauteing chicken parts. You could bard it or lard it with some bacon slices for something a little bit different. And even if you don't eat the bacon, it would the bacon, the fat in the bacon will protect the white meat from drying out. You could cook it slowly and baste it. So you don't dry out the meat. And again, I would brown it first. Now, the other thing, if you like the dark meat, you could do the thigh. Buy turkey thighs, and you could bone out. It's one single bone in the thigh. It's very easy to bone it out and flatten it. And the part where the thigh bone was, and that's where you put your stuffing. You could roast it whole on the bone, which would be nice, but it would take a little bit longer. Now, the dark meat, you could make a nice stuffed thigh. And then the other option is, if you have a whole turkey and you want to, you could cook the meat two different ways. You could roast the breast or roast a stuffed breast and then take the thigh and braise it. Oftentimes, duck is the one that comes to mind, where we cook the breast separately from the legs sometimes. Of course, the breast and the duck we want medium rare. The legs, we want to braise them so they're nice and tender. So a couple of ways to divide and conquer, as we call it, besides the traditional roast whole turkey. If you do it two ways, or you could even then get two meals. So you want to have the white meat on Thanksgiving and save the thigh for the next day. As we said, the dark meat would take on very nicely to wine sauces, to Mexican or Central American type food. Braising would be nice, but roasted or braised, that dark meat stays nice and tender and has more flavor, a little more juicy. Of course, there's a little more fat in it, that's why. But the leftover dark meat can give you a lot of options. You could do a barbecue, pulled turkey. We're going to break for a couple of messages here and come back to the table and see what to do with some side dishes, Chef Bill's Table.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business. One business at a time.
The caregiver.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com. /325.
You've got a friend.
If I can reach the stars.
All right, back here at the table, Chef Bill's table.
The caregiver.
Looking at our side dishes now, and of course, potatoes, the mashed potatoes, always the star of the side dishes, correct? And I was in the Times a couple of, Sweeney's potatoes. It was a diced potato with sour cream and cheese and everything.
The caregiver.
And yesterday in the Times, the Aligot, French potatoes, where you make your potato puree and then blend in a lot of Gruyere cheese. It almost becomes like a potato cheese sauce. And in fact, if you've seen
the caregiver.
The mashed potato technique. I know my son in one restaurant used to do this. They would actually boil the potatoes in the skins and then peel them while they were still hot, put them through the fine china cap after the ricer, and then blend in lots of cream and butter. And when you see that, what happens, the potatoes act almost like the egg yolks in a hollandaise. They'll just absorb this butter and become a nice puree. It's almost, again, like a sauce. And it's something, of course, you're not going to eat half a pound of, but very nice garnish for the meal. So how do we get good mashed potatoes? You know, do you like them lumpy? Do you like them real buttery? And it starts really with picking the potato. And you look at the moisture content of potatoes. So when you have Eastern potatoes, which we used for a long time, and they're good. They call them maybe the chef potatoes or all-purpose potatoes, and they're fine, but they do have a little bit more moisture in them, and they can get, you know, you're boiling them, it can get a little soggy. The russets work very well. They have a little less moisture, nice and dry, familiar with, of course, for your French fries or baked potatoes. We like the Yukon Golds at the restaurant because they're almost as starchy as a russet.
And
the red potatoes, of course, waxy potatoes, they're more for salads and things where you don't want the potato to break down. So cooking them now, when you're traditionally you would start potatoes in cold water. You want to put the potatoes in cold water, a little salt in there, and bring it up to temperature and boil them. And some people steam the potatoes. We like to either slice them or cube them. You want to make sure they're all cut, of course, the same size so they cook evenly. If there's any green on the potato, the solanine kind of develops when sunlight hits the potatoes. Take that off. Any sprouts, cut them right away. You don't want any of that stuff because that isn't good for you. It occurs in a lot of vegetables, but when the potatoes hit sunlight and you get that green there, don't throw the potato out. Just make sure you cut it off completely. When you want to store your potatoes, if you store them in the refrigerator, of course, the starch turns to sugar. Gives you and that could work, actually, for a nice flavor for your mashed potatoes. I know we used to get what we called cold storage potatoes. They made very good mashed potatoes or potato salad. If you want your potatoes for French fries, of course, you keep them room temperature. The sugar goes to starch, and the fries don't get overly brown. So we're going to use russets or Yukon Golds probably for the most successful mashed potatoes. Now, when you boil them, of course, the starch granules swell, and a lot of people tend to use a hand mixer or a food processor, and the potatoes kind of come out gluey, and it's not really, there's no gluten in potatoes like there is in wheat, but there is starch. And what happens when you whip or process the potatoes, it releases those starches and makes your potatoes have that gluey texture. So this is not what we want. That's why we like to crush them with the old-fashioned potato masher or put them through the ricer. The ricer is good. Or if you have a coarse strainer, you could press it through with the round part, the ladle, kind of force it through. I know my son, they used to put it through the chinois, the China cap, which is a conical-shaped strainer, and usually have either a ladle or a wooden pusher to push the product through. A food mill would work fine, but the ricer, just that little pushing one, few slices at a time, gives you that nice, breaks down, gives you the nice texture that you like. Now, there's another technique that I discovered. And a little science behind it is the potatoes are pre-cooked or par-cooked in 140-degree water. Now, this requires just very, very low heat on the stove. You don't want to even simmer. You use a thermometer to determine the temperature. Or you could just bring the water. In this case, you bring it to a simmer and add the potatoes. Take the temperature then. It should drop it, you know, a good 20, 30 degrees. For about 20 minutes, you want these sitting in fairly hot water, 140 degrees. So after about 20 minutes, you drain them and cool them. Now, you could cool them under running water if you like. It'll wash even more of the starch off. Or just let them totally cool. What happens then is the starch retrogrades, gets less gluey. It'll firm back up when cooking. But what happens, if you think of your leftover rice, say you get Chinese takeout, you have that white rice that's left, or even your own steamed rice. You cool it off, the next day it's very, very hard. You can steam it back to life, you can stir fry it. That's what makes it actually good for stir frying, because it's hardened back up. What's happened is that that starch firms back up. What happens with the potato when you do that, it keeps the starch from dissolving in the water. So now, and this is good do-ahead technique too. So you have your potatoes par cooked and cooled. When you're ready, now you use boiling water, bring them back to a boil, cook them until they're fully tender. Then you drain them well. We like to put them back in the pot and on the stove, low heat, and almost till you hear this little sizzle. You don't want to fry them, but you want all the excess moisture to evaporate out of there. Oftentimes, just from sitting in the hot pot, it'll do that. So you're going to rice the potatoes, and then we want hot milk or half and half or cream, whichever you prefer, and your whole butter and some salt. Now, what we do is with the hot potatoes, once you've riced them or crushed them, whichever technique you're using, you mix in the whole butter then. So it melts. And then, of course, add the hot milk so you don't cool the dish off too much. And season with salt. If you like pepper in there, that's fine, or you could leave that up to your guests. So this will give you a nice soft mashed potato. And you can add as much butter as you want. If you want to take it to the French potatoes with the Gruyere cheese, or if you want cheesy potatoes, it's kind of the ultimate comfort food. Although with all the rich, the sauces and everything else with the turkey, probably a little bit of overkill. But good mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes. I know most people use a lot of sugar on sweet potatoes. They already have a sweetness. Our favorite is, of course, sweet potatoes Alaska. It's kind of a takeoff on the sweet potatoes with marshmallows. I really don't care much for that. I know it looks pretty. Kids like it. You can do better. You do is you have your sweet potato puree, and whether you boil them or if you roast them, roasting gives them a more intense flavor, or even if you choose to use a canned sweet potato. If you're using the canned ones, of course, drain them well. You don't need all that syrup in there. We like to heat them up first and then drain them. Now, we will add cream and butter just like we do for mashed potatoes. And, of course, sweet potatoes don't have that starch in them, so you don't have to worry about them getting pasty. These you can actually blend up pretty well. And I like to season them. I use powdered ginger for a little bit of that zip, a little bit of heat to them. Some people like to use cinnamon and nutmeg and make it more like a pie, but we really want to take it a little more savory direction. Salt and pepper, the ginger. We will put a dash of maple syrup in. That little bit of, I like the maple flavor in there, but not so much. It's not like a glaze. You're not pouring it all over the top of them. Just more as a seasoning. Now, what you do is you have your, and you can make these ahead. You have your sweet potato puree, and you take some eggs, a couple of eggs, maybe, you know, for a casserole, maybe three eggs, and separate the eggs. The yolks, if you like, you can put them back into your potato puree. It'll help enrich them. Not that potatoes need any more. Sweet potatoes have some fat in them anyway. Or save the yolks for another purpose. Maybe brush your shepherd's pie the next day with some egg yolk to brown it up. So with the egg whites, we're going to make a light meringue. A standard meringue would be 2 parts sugar to 1 part egg white. We do maybe 1-to-1. We don't want it real, real sweet, but we do want to beat the egg whites, whip them till they're nice and frothy with the sugar. And if you've worked with meringue, if you've seen lemon meringue pie, you know you have this nice, fluffy, white stuff. What you do is when you're ready to bake your sweet potatoes, you have them in a casserole, and you put this meringue on top just like you would on top of a pie. So that gives you kind of your marshmallow taste, but without all the sugar. It's something you made yourself. You put that casserole in the oven and bake it until the meringue browns. If the potatoes are already hot, you could run a little higher temperature and just brown the meringue. If the potatoes are cooler, you want to go a little bit lower temperature. But at any rate, you'll have a nice, your own take on the marshmallow sweet potatoes. Not as much sugar. Appreciate the savory characteristics of a sweet potato. We've got a break for news here, and we'll come back to the table and see what's happening with maybe a couple more sides, leftovers, and some beverages. Chef Bill's table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Governor Dick Perry will be here, former leader of Texas and a former rival for the presidency. Governor Mary Fallon from Oklahoma, among others.
Advisor to President-elect Donald Trump, Kellyanne Conway, confirming two governors are scheduled to meet with Donald Trump today as the president-elect moves his transition meetings back to Trump Tower from New Jersey, where he met with over 20 people over the weekend. Conway asked on Fox and Friends what positions former Texas Governor Rick Perry and current Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon are being considered for.
I've heard his name mentioned for defense, energy. Mary Fallon, governor of Oklahoma, maybe interior.
No arrest yet for the fatal shooting of a San Antonio police detective killed as he was riding a traffic ticket Sunday. The gunman who ambushed and wounded a St. Louis cop was killed by police. Officers also shot and wounded in Missouri and Florida Sunday. This is USA Radio News.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
GEICO presents a voicemail from your friend, Electricity.
Hey, it's me, Electricity, so I'll keep this short. Get it? Never mind. Anyway, I just want to make sure you're not, like, still mad at me about that electrical fire in your kitchen. I mean, obviously you're not, but I'm just checking to make sure. It's no big deal if you are. It's not like you're asking me to pay for the damage. Right?
Electricity won't pay for an electrical fire. Luckily, the GEICO Insurance Agency makes getting coverage a snap. Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Caregiver.
All right, we're back at the table. Chef Bill's table here at 100andchamberradio.com. So, our mashed potatoes. I guess I mentioned some chefs or cooks like to add something to the mashed potatoes. Your white potatoes, celery root. Celery root purees very easily. Gives it a nice flavor. Even white turnips would work, but celery root's pretty good. Even little horseradish in there, right? Something. Again, depending on your sauce, depending on your likes, but a little horseradish would work. Many places use roasted garlic, roasted shallots. If you like the garlic or onion flavor in there, when you're boiling your potatoes would be the time you throw in a couple of cloves of garlic. Maybe a branch of fresh thyme. Something you can fish out afterwards, so you don't have the garlic puree in there. Just a hint, that little overtone of flavor. Or, as I say, drop with the onion, you could drop a shallot in there. While the potatoes are cooking, then remove it. You'll get that very, very mild onion flavor. Now, the other, of course, what's the big one? Green beans and mushroom casserole, right? Canned soup and frozen green beans and canned onions. I guess it works. A lot of salt in there. A lot of salt. You can do better. Now, if you like green beans, of course, finding fresh ones might be a little difficult. Frozen green beans are not, they're actually a vegetable that freezes very well. I wouldn't use canned, and you're even putting more salt in there. But it would be nice if you could find the whole green beans, less processing, or the haricots verts are usually the French beans, not French style, not those slivered up things. You want actually the very tiny, slim green beans. And oftentimes you can find those. They're not inexpensive, but you don't really need that much if you're mixing with other things. And those may be grown maybe year-round, you know, not necessarily hydroponically, but probably in greenhouses. So if you can find the little green beans, they're fine. And, of course, if they're raw, you want to blanch them a little bit. The slim green beans, you don't have to cook that long. If they're frozen, you want to blanch them. And again, whole green beans, less processed than the cut ones or the Frenched ones. Those are kind of slivered up old green, mature green beans, let's say. You want to make them tender. Now, instead of the mushroom soup, of course, you make your own mushroom cream. And here's where you can vary the mushrooms. At least, you know, put some shiitakes, maybe some creminis. Do a variety of mushrooms. And what we do is saute those with a little bit of shallot. And you could use Madeira, you could use sherry, you could use white wine. Put a little wine in when you're cooking them and let that reduce. Now, at this point, you don't really need to make it real thick. You can just add a little heavy cream and let that reduce. Or if you do want to thicken it a little bit, you could use, I don't know if I would use roux, I'd probably use arrowroot. Or something like that. I don't, you know, cornstarch will break down after a while. Probably arrowroot or even a light flour whitewash would be good. Flour and water. Could use what we call a beurre manie. We just take soft butter and flour and knead it together. Little knobs of that would help thicken it. But usually cooking down the cream will help thicken it. Blend those in with the mushrooms. Now you've got your own real mushroom sauce instead of a thickened up salty canned soup. Now for the onions, of course, it's tough to beat those little cans of onions. And procedure, you have to dry the onions out very well when you're cooking them. But flash fried shallots would work. Shallots are not that big. Have those in slices. You could just dust them with a little flour and in your hot oil. They don't cook. They don't take that long to cook. Using regular onions, you've got to go through a drying process. It takes a while, but flash-fried shallots would be great on these if you want something crunchy. I've done another rendition of this where I made the mushroom and Madeira mix and then actually dry-fried the green beans. Chinese, if you have a wok, if you like Chinese technique, kind of flip it over. You've got your mushrooms and onions in your mix there, and then flash fry the raw green beans, which you can do. It blisters them up, gives them a a nice roasted flavor. Something different if you want to try. Just flip that dish right on its head. Of course, Brussels sprouts, not only have they generally this time of year, the seasonal vegetable, they've really become the darling of restaurant vegetable selections. You see them everywhere now, steakhouses, places that never used to have that many vegetable selections. Everybody's got Brussels sprouts. It's very popular at Jake's. We roast them, or you can see them, they'll call them charred. They're a little touchy. You need that 425 degree oven. Toss them all. We cut them in half to do them. You remove any little end of the core, and then if there's any brown leaves on them. But you want to leave enough of the core on there so all your leaves don't fall out. It's like a little head of cabbage, right? Otherwise, you lose too many leaves. Now, if the leaves, if the heads are a little bit loose, you get up a lot of leaves. Some chefs just flash fry those also. They're good when they're crunchy. Maybe that would be a good topper for your green beans and mushrooms. Flash fry some Brussels sprout leaves. But at any rate, we like to roast them till they're about half cooked. And you need to turn them a little bit. You can sometimes the cut side will brown a little bit, but it really is tasty. You got to season them with salt and pepper. You can have these roasted ahead, and then we like to add a little bit of par-cooked bacon for the final few minutes in the oven. Gives it, again, a little of that smoked pork flavor, and a little oil helps lubricate. You know, it's a pancetta works if you don't like the smoke. Happen to like the pancetta. But, again, classic combination. After all, these are little cabbages, and the pork product goes very good with those, very well with those. Braised greens would be another good choice. Again, we've wanted this array of sides. You know, you've got a couple of choices of potato. If you don't like the sprouts, another way you could do them, as I've done very successfully with people that didn't like Brussels sprouts, is hash them. I take the Brussels sprouts, cut the core end off, and slice them very thin. And this I do in a big sautoir, a big skillet. And we need a little bit of fine chopped onion or shallots. And we need some shredded carrots. So what I'll do is I'll start with the shallot, and I'll saute the hashed Brussels sprouts. So they're kind of hashed, of course, chopped in small pieces. So they're little slices, just like if you were cutting them for coleslaw. Start the sprouts, get them about half cooked, and then I add the shredded carrots for sweetness. So you've got the sweet onions you've already started with, or shallots. And you have your carrots in there now, salt and pepper, and or if you want to use a chicken broth, you can. But I find just salt, pepper, and add a little water, so it kind of creates some steam and braises these. And the trick, of course, you get them before the color gets too dull. You want them to be a little bit firm, but not al dente. You have a little texture left to them, and you don't want to overcook them to mush. But the hashed Brussels sprouts would be a neat way if you think you don't like Brussels sprouts, roasting or hashing them really, you know, it's so much different than just taking them and boiling them and tossing them in a dish with some butter. That doesn't do them justice. And the frozen ones, unfortunately, take on a whole different texture that's not that great. This time of year, of course, we'd like the broccoli rabe. There's kale. Kale's a good, hearty vegetable for this cold weather. Kale, you need to cook a little bit more. A little firmer than the other ones. But escarole, broccoli rabe, any of these greens, if you want a green vegetable and the green beans aren't your thing, definitely some braised greens. If you want to, you know, turn your dinner into superfoods, have sweet potatoes, have the braised greens, the Brussels sprouts, and then with your turkey, you know, you've got lots of nutrients there. Now, lots of dark colors. Very good. All right, we're going to break for a couple of messages here, and we'll come back and take a look at some wine beverage selections and maybe even a couple of leftover dishes. Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to get them.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programs. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
That shape is my shame, there where I used to stand. It seems like only yesterday I gazed through the glass.
All right, we're back at the table here. I've got to try to find this gremlin here that's interrupting me. I have to wait till we're on news break and figure out what's going on here. Anyway, I apologize again for that. All right, so beverages with the meal, and you know, as a beverage, of course, talking about beers or wines, cider, and I mentioned apple cider. Of course, this time of year, be kind of nice for everybody because you can if you don't want alcohol, you can drink regular cider. If you like a little bit of alcoholic beverage, you drink the hard cider, and there's of course many around, and more and more are being produced. It's still on a roll, and now even locally here in Hunterdon County, some producers are of traditional cider now bottle hard cider, which is kind of nice. It's one of those, it's like beers now. It's you can usually find somebody nearby to purchase from. Yes, the national brands, and you know, everything's, you know, it's all well and good. People have their favorites, but it's really nice once in a while just to give the local people a shot there. Try it out. And at least you know it's going to be fresh. It's right nearby. It hasn't traveled too far. You don't waste a lot of fuel shipping them around. I think it's great that the small producers are starting back again from, you know, 20 years ago when it was just a handful at the top just producing everything. Now the it's a resurgence in brewers and distillers and farms. And it's coming back a little bit. So, as I said, you know, turkey being this canvas that you can kind of create anything on. With wines, I was trying to think of wines that wouldn't go with turkey, but probably the Cabernet Sauvignon would be probably my least favorite choice, unless you really, really like it, because there's so many more out there. If you want to go seasonal and you want something a little bit different, not a serious wine, kind of a fun wine, the Beaujolais Nouveau, and it depends on the year, of course. The vintage is very important. The Nouveau is wine that's, it's, if you think of red wines, they're usually crushed and then fermented, then stored for a little while, aged. The Beaujolais Nouveau is very fresh wine. Of course, the crush was in September, and they release it the third week of November every year. So it's not been that long since it was fermented. And it doesn't have the heavy characteristics. I shouldn't say heavy, but the complex characteristics of red wine that sits in oak for a while. It picks up the oak, you know, that softens tannins, things like that. You've got a Gamay grape, which is kind of, used in regular Beaujolais. You'll see Beaujolais Village, Cru Beaujolais, which would be another great choice for Thanksgiving meal. Try the Nouveau, and especially go to your wine store and, you know, if they recommend it. But there's also the Cru Beaujolais. Again, it's a region near Burgundy, and Pinot Noir would be, of course, very good wine, red wine with turkey. Oregon produces very well. Some other New World producers are out there. French Burgundy is, of course, very, very expensive. So we like the Beaujolais. It's a different grape. It's the Gamay. It's just outside the area, but it goes very well with the food. The Fleury or Côte de Bruy would be good starters for that. But there's 10 districts that are Cru Beaujolais. And again, your wine merchant should be able to steer you to the right one. I don't think there's any bad ones, but some have, you know, different, more floral characteristics than others. But they're all good. The Cru Beaujolais, and most houses will produce, you know, producers will reflect several of the districts there. Zinfandel, heavier wine as far as alcohol, and you'll get styles all over the place too, so it's hard to pin one down. Of course, if you're thinking American grape flourishes here, the Zinfandel would be, at least to start off the dinner. You might not want to have too much of it, usually a little higher alcohol, but all the great characteristics we'd like in a red wine. Rhone reds are kind of, would go with this food, you know, the southern, more south of France, the Syrah grape, of course, Chateauneuf du Pape, expensive wine, but good food wine. But Rhone reds would be good. And then on the rosé side, a dry rosé, and that's, you want to, there's many good ones out there now. You don't want to just mix white and red wine and call it rosé. You want to find a nice dry rosé. But if I was going rosé, I'd go sparkling. Of course, sparkling wine, champagne, or American sparkling wine. It goes with everything. Cavas are good. The Spanish one's very reasonable. But if I was going to go rosé, I would go with a Brut rosé or off-dry if that's what your crowd likes. I happen to like very dry. Sparkling wine's good. Good to start the meal. It'll last through the meal. You're not really serving salads or anything vinegary. The bubbles kind of, it's refreshing, kind of cuts through the richness of some of the food. So not a terrible choice, really. And for me, I mean, it's one of those that could be a go-to wine if you're not sure of what your guests would like. Italian, again, you could kind of tailor the wine toward the style of maybe your side dishes or other things with the meal. But certainly a Sangiovese would work with the roast. White wine, Chardonnay, not too oaky unless you're having a lot of richer foods, but a
caregiver.
French style Chardonnay would be nice. A Gewürztraminer, if you're looking for Alsatian or German wine, or Riesling. Riesling's a great grape, and you want it, again, you want it dry. If your crowd likes a little bit of sweetness, you can go with an off-dry, but Riesling has, Rieslings have the fruit flavors that really match up nicely with a lot of, you know, what you're doing, whether it's with your desserts, your side dishes, got the good fall fruit flavors in there.
A caregiver.
Now, as far as beers, I would think of beer on Thanksgiving, right? But some people, you know, if you don't like wine or if you prefer a beer, then there's no reason you can't enjoy it. If there's still some Oktoberfest beer, the Marzahn would be very good with a traditional Thanksgiving dinner. Oftentimes, these are sold out, you know, well before the end of October. But if you still happen to find some, it would say Oktoberfest or a Marzahn style beer. American Amber Lager, you know, good old-fashioned choice. There's many good. You don't want anything too hoppy because those lagers kind of get into, the ales. Most things now, you know, IPAs, hoppy. We want something more on the lager style. Now, Belgian, a Dubbel, which, you know, Chimay Rouge is nice. Westmalle, Omegon up in New York State. I think they're partnered with Orval. They produce some very good Belgian-style ales, which any of those, that would be, if you like that style, but very good with the turkey. Of course, a Saison de Pont, and I think Omegang has, I forget the name of it, but it's a Saison style. That's like champagne. It's good with anything. And you can find different styles, different producers, but and those come in a cork bottle, too, just like champagne. So, I mean, I like it in the summer, but certainly if sparkling wine is your thing or you want to offer somebody something sparkling that's not wine, the Saison would work for that. And then finally, the French beer, Beer de Garde. That would be another cork beer. It could be ale or lager, but the French beer is produced really to go along with something like these roasted poultry and things like that. And if you're not into alcohol, and of course you've got the kids, remember with your nothing too sweet. If you're doing what I like to do with plain iced tea and add some fruit juice, so you don't have sweet tea, good plain iced tea, and then add some juice. You can add, of course, the lemonade for the Arnold Palmer style, but I've put cranberry, I've put orange, any kind of fruit juice you like. What the tea does, of course, you're going to cut the sweetness, and there are some tannins in tea, which kind of make it, you know, seem like, you know, it's more of a beverage with food instead of something, you know, soda poppy. So experiment. Do some blends with your tea. Try some beers, different wines. Have a ball. It's Thanksgiving. And leftovers, you know, Thanksgiving pie, my favorite. Line the pan with stuffing, a buttered casserole. You mix your sliced turkey with your gravy. Put some vegetables in if you like. You fill the casserole with that, and then your mashed potatoes, your cold mashed potatoes, and if you've pre-cooked them and boiled them right, they won't be too gluey. Spread that mashed potato crust on there. Nice 425-degree oven. Take your couple of egg yolks that you have left. Dissolve it with a little milk and make a nice little brush for your potatoes so they brown up. And have your Thanksgiving pie. So we got to head out. We'll be back next week, hopefully. at the table and start to get ready for our winter comfort food at Chef Bill's table. Talk to you next week.